Houston edged the Clippers 115-113. In college hoops, number 4 Iowa State beat Iowa. NHL wins for Boston, Minnesota, and Colorado.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium. If it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 AM WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
And good morning and welcome in to the Friday edition. It's cold edition of Inside Locker Room. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you'd like to jump in with us this morning. If you want to jump in, I suggest the first 30 minutes is your best chance because we're guest heavy today. Real quick, Mike Griffith will join us at 7:30. Dog Nation. David Kindred, we enjoy having David on with Bryant Bank. He'll be on at 8. Sonny Smith, and then Mike Norholtz will come in and clean up for us before we pass it over to Gary Harris this morning. 205-342-9904 is the phone number if you want to jump in with us. Download the app, the Tide 100.9 app. We've gotten several app messages throughout this week. We'd be happy to read those over the air. If you want to email us, you could do that, wimpandbarry@yahoo.com. Yellowwood, pressure-treated pine from Great Southern. They make the 7 o'clock hour possible. If you want to build the 5-star backyard and your only choice is Yellowwood, go to yellowwood.com to find the dealer closest to you. And if it doesn't have that yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Chase is out today. We got Wyatt behind the glass. So if you dial us up, you'll be talking to Wyatt. Good morning, Dad. Good morning, Wyatt. How you doing? You guys doing this morning?
We're fine. Alabama ended up second behind Southern Cal, if you like statistics. 22 commits, 3 5-stars, and 10 top 100 players. So that's, I guess, certainly a good recruiting year, and he's done a good job there. Kevin's DeBoer, his name is mentioned with a Michigan job. I don't think very strongly. I don't think you have to, you know, some like him, some don't. So I don't think you have to worry too much about that. Mike Norholtz is coming on just today. He scored 50 of 52 points out of 3-point line. I recruited him 61 years ago, and been a long time. Just talked to him on the phone, and he'll be on for a few minutes after Sunday is over. Sunday comes on about 8:15. When Sunday's over, how long he'll be on, we'll have Mike on. Mike Griffith, Dog Nation, we can talk to him about the Georgia program or how it compares to Alabama, so whatever you wish to talk to him about, we'll be on at the bottom of the hour. So we have a lot of, I think, decent people to talk to today. The 26th schedule for Alabama, or for all the schools, has been put out. And I think it's just okay. Alabama has 5 games on the road in the league and 4 at home. They have South Carolina, Georgia, A&M, and Auburn at home. And those games there, of course, the Auburn game is big. They had Chattanooga before the Auburn game to get themselves ready for Auburn. And they have Kentucky and Tennessee, A&M, Vandy, and State on the road. So if you're interested in knowing what's going on there, you can look it up on the internet. That's all I have.
Am I looking at this right? They play September 5th, East Carolina. Then they're at Kentucky on the 12th. Florida State at home. We'll see if we'll not lose to Florida State this year. South Carolina home at Mississippi State. So they're going to start 5-0. And then it gets serious. Georgia at home at Tennessee. Texas A&M at home. Open date. Then at LSU. So that's a tough stretch there. Georgia, Tennessee, A&M, and LSU, and then Vanderbilt. We'll see if Vanderbilt can keep it rolling. Then Chattanooga, Auburn. So those games, I think 5-0 early will happen, and then from there we'll have to see. Auburn's, I pulled theirs up. For some reason, they moved. Well, money. They moved that Baylor game to Atlanta. And so they'll open up with Baylor. It was supposed to be a game in Auburn, but I guess they're getting NIL money or something. So they're going to Atlanta. Then Southern Miss, Florida, Vandy at home. So they don't go on the road until October 3rd. Of course, those two road games are not fun. At Tennessee, at Georgia. Then they got LSU at home, at Ole Miss, Arkansas at home, at Mississippi State, Samford, then at Alabama. So that's a pretty tough schedule for the new coach. They had the road games, Tennessee, Georgia, Mississippi State, and Alabama. So there's Auburn's schedule if anybody cares about that. So you don't think Kalen DeBoer will have any interest in Michigan?
I don't know that the interest is combining. I don't know that Michigan is that think they have a shot at him. I don't think it's the bigger deal. I think it's a media thing rather than anything else.
You know, how long can Michigan wait is the question. If Alabama were to win the first game, then they don't play again, I don't believe, until New Year's Day. So can that, and is he going to take a job while he's still coaching at Alabama? He didn't come across to me that somebody that would do that unless he just really wants the Michigan job. But I don't know that Michigan – can Michigan wait that long? Let's say he is the guy and he says, I'm coming, but just wait. I can't do it until the season's over. If they were to win that first game, I mean, you're talking about a long time before they could get a coaching place. And the portal opens up, I think, on the 2nd or the 3rd there of January. So – the timing of all this stuff is bad. That's why they're trying to get stuff in place where you can't even talk to coaches during certain times of the year. I think that would probably be good, not put these guys in these tough situations like this. All right, let's get to the Yellowwood Hotline and bring Philip into the show. Good morning, Philip.
Good morning, Dad. I heard you warn him to call in because of your guests this morning, but I just wanted to give you a little bit of a, I promised you yesterday, a little bit of a rundown on Arizona's contributors, if you don't mind.
Sure.
Koa Pete is probably their most prolific player. They've got about 8 guys that you're going to see play tomorrow night when you're at the game. He's a forward, averages about 16 a game. And then, of course, Jaden Bradley, the former Alabama player, is one of the guards. He's averaging about 15 a game. And then you remember a guy named Braden Burries. Do you remember that name?
Mm-mm.
Alabama recruited him pretty hard a few years ago, and he was definitely a prospect that was hot on our list, but picked Arizona instead. He and Del Orsio are two guards, averaging about 11 a game, and Del Orsio is from Australia. And then they've got a center named Krivas that's from Lithuania. He averages 9 points a game. And then after that, they've got contributors that are all forwards. A guy named Awada, he averages 9 points a game. Karchalov from Germany, and Aristode from the Netherlands. So they've got some of those big foreign guys. They've probably played some pro basketball before, and you'll be able to see some of those former pro basketball players probably play tomorrow night. And hopefully it will be a good game, and I hope Alabama can not get destroyed inside. That's going to be the key to me. How do y'all feel about it?
Well, Koa Pete is the freshman. He's actually from Arizona. Mm-hmm. He is a load. He is a double load inside. He may be the best. I know there's a lot of great freshmen out there in the country. I know BYU's got one and Boozer at Duke. This kid does not take a backseat. This guy may be a better college player than those guys. Maybe those guys project to be better pros. But Koa Pete, he will maul you in the paint. So I don't know who Alabama's going to put on him, but they're going to have to guard the paint tomorrow and not get killed on the glass like they did against Purdue. Dad, your thoughts about Arizona?
I actually don't know a whole lot about them as much as I should know. I know they're darn good inside, and also they got great ability on the perimeter, and they defend you well. So I don't really know a whole lot about them. Should be a great game.
Yeah, they're really good on the glass, Phillip. So if they're beating you on the glass, you got to make a lot of threes, which Alabama's going to get up a lot of threes. But I know Coach Oates has a lot of respect for Tommy Lloyd. They work together with USA Basketball. Obviously, he's the coach at Arizona, and Tommy's done a really good job at Arizona. Now, that home court advantage is big for those guys, but these guys have played a pretty good schedule as well. They've beaten some pretty good teams. They beat Florida. They've beaten UCLA. They've beaten UConn. And they've beaten Auburn by 30. So
that stands out. That stands out. Boy, they're good. And I tell you another thing about them too, Barry and Wimp. They've been healthy. They've been healthy.
Yeah.
And that's going to say a lot tomorrow night. And have y'all heard anything on Bristow's availability?
The word I heard was they thought Bristow would play. The little guard, what's his name, from Auburn with the wrist.
Holloway.
Yeah, Holloway is questionable or game time decision. So I'm sure if those guys have been practicing, they'll play. They'll need Holloway, his quickness in this game for sure. So
they sure will. Hey, it's good talking to y'all. Hope you have a good weekend. I'm looking forward to hearing some talk on this DeBoer Michigan stuff. I hope it peters out, but it seems to be getting legs, man. I don't know.
Well, I guess. Until they have a press conference, somebody ask him about it, he's not going to put out some statement about it, I wouldn't think, unless he's definitely staying. Maybe he doesn't know. Who knows? But I do know it's a job that he could look at for sure. Yes, Wyatt.
I was just going to say, normally they don't do unscheduled. Like, he's scheduled to talk Monday afternoon.
Yeah.
And we'll be there for that one. So, but normally they don't do an unscheduled press release or press conference unless it comes with an extension as well. So.
Yeah. And they may be working on that as well. That might be the next thing you see. So thank you, Phillip.
Thank y'all.
All right, we'll take this first break. 2 minute truck there at 1330 Martin Road East. That's where you go pick up your boxes, your packing supplies, whatever you need to make this a smooth move. It's local, out of town, out of state, no problem. With the professionals handle it, they'll take the stress away. Give them a call today. It's 205-247-5050. 2 men in a truck. Movers who care.
Here's what's trending on the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Good Friday morning. Kentuck's Art Market Holiday Extravaganza set for 11 until 6 tomorrow at the Kentuck Queen City headquarters on Warner Parkway. That event is family friendly. It's free, and it gives attendees a chance to connect with local artists and discover one-of-a-kind gifts for Christmas. There will be hot cocoa, a sing-along, and a stage reading of Dickens' Christmas Carol. Click TuscaloosaThread.com for more West Alabama news, sports, and weather. I'm Don Hartley.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving a little slower in the area right now as we're approaching your prime time and moving about Skyland Boulevard on and off the brakes between McFarland and 69, but nothing major. Also, traffic is moving quite nicely across the rest of the area.
No. Tuscaloosa Thread. Get the app and sign up for the 2 daily newsletters only from the Tuscaloosa Thread.
Road tripping, business travel, or bringing your car in for repairs. All great reasons to rent a Toyota at Tuscaloosa Toyota. You can rent the latest Toyota models for a day, a week, or a weekend. Every Toyota rental car comes with 24 hours roadside.
Kids four-wheelers, dirt bikes, and side-by-sides for Christmas. With financing available, Redline Power Sports, Highway 43 at Tierce Patton Road in Northport.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today, mostly sunny, the high 61. Tonight, fair with the low at 41. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, maybe a little light rain tomorrow night, the high 62. Much colder Sunday, windy with temperatures falling through the 30s. I'm James Spann with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 30 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
Hot! Your home for Alabama Crimson Tide football. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
pressure-treated pine from Great Southern to make the 7 o'clock hour possible. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. Right to the Yellowwood hotline. Good morning, Tom.
Hey, Tom.
Barry, morning, Coach.
How you, man?
I'm good. I don't understand why we feel the need every time the A is mentioned in Alabama that we have to stir the pot. Everybody that's ever had anything to do with Alabama, except Coach Sanderson, feels like they have, we got to start something about Alabama because guess what? Somebody will listen to it.
Could you be more specific?
Well, every time there's an opening for one of these coaches, we got to get Alabama's coach. And if we don't go get him, the people in Alabama, well, we got to mention him. So we got to get him hired for them. And I don't understand the mentality about, you know, every time open is at Alabama, we got to drive that little wagon around with about our coach leaving.
You're saying who does this? Me, the national media, Alabama fans.
No, you did it. I don't pay attention to national media. They're
poor. Well, they're doing it. You don't think it's a story? Hey, Tom, do you don't think it's a story?
No.
Really? It's not.
No, I don't. And I'll tell you when it'll become a story.
Well, you're wrong. It is a story. Now, maybe he doesn't go, but it is. Everybody else is talking about it.
And nobody after it, you know, he comes out here in a couple of weeks and says, you know, I never even thought about doing the mission. That'll be the end of it. You won't hear anybody say, well, you know, we were wrong.
If you listened to yesterday, which I know you did, Jack Crow, you could hear all these other people talk about, well, I mean, he just wouldn't do that. He came to take over for Nick Saban. He's got him in the play. They give you all these things that have nothing to do with it. Jack Crow knocked it out of the park when he said, when he took the job, whatever was promised him and whatever, does he feel like he gets whatever he needs in order for this program to be successful? Is there anything that maybe he thought was one thing and it's another thing when he got here? Those are the things that you look at. Nick Saban was never. Nick Saban was. I don't know. Nick Saban was never told no. When he got the job, right, they handed him the job and said, "Coach, take us where we've been. Whatever you need." Florida didn't do that when they went after Lane Kiffin. They were going to hire Lane Kiffin, but you're going to have to hire this NFL guy to come in here and run the program. So they didn't. They weren't willing to give him the keys to the program. And is his wife happy? I mean, we don't know. Those are the things you have to look at. He came to replace the, he's running from it. That has nothing to do with it. It's about whether he thinks, you know, following Nick Saban's not easy. And he's gotten in here. And do you think he's done a good job? Because you've been pretty critical of this team and said they shouldn't be in the playoffs.
I did. I said that. But I'm telling you right now, I live on the philosophy of Coach Saban. You play bad, you get criticized at Alabama. That's just a fact. That's a fact. Get used to it. If you win all your games, good. You know, we're going to playoffs. But if you play bad and look like a bag of you-know-what, you're going to get criticized. And you're going to get called names and everything else. Get used to it. And I tell you what, you go to Michigan, they're used to winning too, and the same thing will be up there.
Sure.
But I don't believe it. And if he goes, then he goes. But I don't believe he's going. And I don't think it's a story. And I think it's wrong to do that, to try to tear down Alabama and have them in negative light. Oh, if he's considering going to Michigan, something must be wrong with Alabama. And
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
Do you think Michigan has more money to pay the players than Alabama? Can they get access to
Absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Do you think players? Do you think players are making decisions based on money?
Some.
Okay. So could you get better players at Michigan if you have more money?
Maybe. But here's the thing. Can you get better coaching? That's where we got to be. We've got to be able. I read a recruiting story yesterday.
Tom. You gotta have. I've never seen a jackass win the Kentucky Derby. You gotta have the players, buddy.
There you go. You're right about that. You're right. But the jockey does make a difference, and but you're right. He's got to have a horse, and but not a jackass. But let me ask you this. I want to get off that subject. When Mike comes on, can will y'all ask him a question?
Sure.
Asking, can he believe that Alabama put such a sorry ass team out on the field against Georgia last week?
Ask him what?
Why don't you ask him? Ask him, can he believe that Alabama put such a sorry team out on the field last week against Georgia in an effort that was pathetic? Right. Ask him if he could believe what he was.
What you just said is why Kalen DeBoer looked at Michigan.
Who said that?
What you just said.
What did I say?
That why do we put such a sorry team on the field against Georgia?
We did. Do you agree?
No,
Do you think our effort was good?
That sorry team's in the playoffs.
Okay, that sorry, all right. I don't want to go down that road.
That sorry team was banged up.
And you
But I'm just saying, like, when you say, why would – it's not a story, but then when people start talking about he thinks Ryan Grubb's really good, but people start telling how sorry he is, need to fire him, and why we put that sorry team on the field, these guys are like, okay, you ain't going to ever be able to please these Alabama fans. The hell with that, I'm going to Michigan.
That's funny.
It's true.
Anyway, well, he may do that. It could be that.
But you said it wasn't a story.
To me, it's not. I don't know why we're banging on that drum. Nothing's happened.
I know nothing's happened. He's coaching right now.
You and the media people are making news.
Tom, have you ever heard of business as well? Like, if somebody else wants you in the place that where you are don't want to lose you, then what do they do, Tom?
Give you a raise.
Gotcha. Bingo.
What, did they give him a raise?
I don't know. Do you would you be shocked if you saw next week that he got a contract extension?
Yeah.
You would? I would.
I wouldn't. Now that's me. Now you know more about that end of the business. I'm just John Q. Fan. That's all I am.
Yeah.
I don't know crap about money. I don't know anything about what's going on behind the scenes. I call in and say they did a good job. I call in and say they did a terrible job. That's John Q. Fan.
Yeah.
But I would be if you honestly ask Mike, could he believe that he was looking at an Alabama team last week? I'd just be curious. I could be all wrong and all out in left field. I don't know.
They didn't play great. Nobody's going to argue that.
Don't get up there and ask him a question in a way that you're driving for a certain answer. Just let him honestly answer it.
I mean, I told you. Prior to the game, I thought Georgia's going to win.
I did too.
So, thank you,
but
Tom.
I thought we would at least put up a fight.
Yeah, well, we didn't. Thank you, Tom.
Bear, y'all have a good weekend. Love the show.
You too, buddy. Is that a non-story? Something we shouldn't talk about? Kalen DeBoer in Michigan?
No, I think it's a story. It's a national media story, and then when it is, you're on a little dinky radio show in Tuscaloosa, Alabama, that you'd be amiss if you didn't mention both sides of it, what might happen, and that's the reason I mentioned it.
Yeah. Well, how many hits do you think you would get on the thing, on the website, if all of a sudden, boom, breaking news, and he was going to Michigan? That'd probably be a pretty big, probably be your biggest story of the year, wouldn't it?
It'd definitely be the biggest story of the year. Right now, the biggest was Drake Kirkpatrick Jr.'s arrest.
But, yeah, well, it'll beat that, I promise you.
But if you, I mean, if you talk about it, you're making a story out of nothing. If you don't talk about it, and then it happens, you don't have your finger on the pulse of the program, yeah, and you don't know what you're doing.
I would think Michigan, there's some programs that are worthy of looking at. I would think Michigan would be one of those. And you're a Midwest guy, and you've been, there's not too many people that they would be interested in. All right, we'll take the break here and get to Mike Griffith. When we get, actually, when Tom said, I thought he meant for me to ask Mike Norholtz that, but he was talking about Mike Griffith, so I will ask Mike Griffith. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM WTBC, is the home of Alabama sports.
Your flagship home of Alabama sports. The road to the national title starts now.
Strike up the band and light them up.
The Crimson Tide looks to get revenge on the Oklahoma Sooners in the first round of the college football playoffs. Friday, December 19th. First round coverage starts at 4 p.m. on your home for Alabama football.
The Tide Tailgate Show is presented by Pearl River Resort,
DCH Regional Medical Center,
Two Dimes Tuscaloosa,
and Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram.
The Tide Tailgate Show is always on just before the Crimson Tide Sports Network live broadcast on 95.3 The Bear and Sports Radio Tide 100.9 and 1230 AM WTBC, and online at 95.3thebear.com and Tide100.9.com.
Tide 100.9 traffic.
Tuscaloosa traffic now from the Townsend Nissan Traffic Center. We are moving a little slower in the area right now as we're approaching your prime time and moving about Skyland Boulevard on and off the brakes between McFarland and 69, but nothing major. Also, traffic is moving quite nicely across the rest of the area.
Now, the Crimson Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry on your home for Alabama sports. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
Yellowwood pressure treated pine from Great Southern. If it doesn't have the yellow tag on it, you don't want it. All right, right to the Yellowwood hotline. He's with Dog Nation. Joins us from time to time. Always really enjoy talking with Mike. Really, really good at what he does, and that's talking college football. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
Hey, Mike. Good morning.
Good, guys. You know, thank you. I was looking at the, you know, I did a story for the Atlanta Journal-Constitution this morning on Gunnar Stockton's Heisman Trophy finish. You know, they put the finishes down of the guys that are, what, 5 through 10, right? Because the four finalists are there in New York.
Yeah.
So I noticed there were only 3 out of those 10 guys that are at the same school they started with. 7 of those guys are transfers. You know, 2 of those guys are transfers from Alabama.
Sayin, and who's the other?
Caleb Downs.
Oh, he's on there. Okay.
He finished 9th. I just thought, man, just imagine if Alabama, you know, hadn't lost all those guys in the portal, and Ohio State, you know, hadn't bought all those guys.
Yeah.
They, you know, I just thought about that. They wouldn't have won a national championship last year without buying those Alabama guys. But just imagine if Kalen DeBoer had those guys. I'm going to tell you, I've been texting this morning with somebody up in Ann Arbor. And, you know, I don't know. I mean, I know what Coach DeBoer said, you know, about the Penn State rumors. I'm just going to tell you, I don't know anything, but if Alabama lets this guy go, it's a big mistake. This guy, I think this guy is a great football coach. I think he is a great football coach. And I know nobody's going to be the next Nick Saban. I know that whoever the next guy is isn't going to be him, isn't going to satisfy fans the way Nick did. But I hope enough fans realize there was going to be nobody that could do what Nick did in this era. That's why Nick got out, because Nick can't be Nick anymore in this era, the way this thing works. So I just had that thought, You know, because I know that there's some Alabama fans that get upset when they, you know, lost the SEC title game or lost to Florida State or, you know, what if or could have been, should have been. But I'm just here to tell you that if that guy goes to Michigan, he'll retire there a legend and a Hall of Famer because he's a really good football coach.
Does he walk down the hall to Courtney Morgan's office? Courtney, I believe, played at Michigan and says, all right, give me the deal. And what does Courtney Morgan tell him, Mike?
Well, the deal's whatever he makes it. I mean, you know, yeah. It's not like it used to be. I mean, I saw something the other day because, you know, we've all seen what's been going on with these, you know, some of these coaches, you know, where character has been questioned. You know, I don't think you're ever going to have a question with Kalen DeBoer in that department. It's another thing you don't take for granted, right?
Sure.
But because he's such a good human being, but. And the guy, it was a former USC quarterback, and he was talking about how college coaches, why they have so much power. And I guess you could, it's because everybody in the building's future is dependent upon that coach. It's like the President of the United States. When he's gone, everybody's gone. A whole new coach. So it's kind of interesting to see all that. But it's I'll tell you what, it's been a wild and woolly college football season, playoff. Postseason. I mean, just when you think you can't get crazier, you know, suddenly Lane Kiffin's out of the headlines. I bet he's very glad to be out of the headlines. Very glad that nobody's talking about him.
Maybe. I don't know. I think he likes the headlines. I don't know. Anyway, Dak.
Maybe so. Maybe so. Yeah. Maybe so.
Go ahead, Dak.
In the game with Georgia, where Alabama was dominated over a long period of time. You know, Alabama was beat up. I'll just evaluate that game for our listeners. Some say that Alabama didn't play hard, this, that, and the other. Do your best to evaluate that victory with Georgia.
Well, I mean, you know, these are two equally matched teams. And, I mean, goodness, I'm talking to two guys that know this better than anybody. Sometimes your team plays better than other times. Sometimes your guys are more fired up than other times. Sometimes one team's got more incentive. Sometimes one staff manages a situation better than the other staff. I mean, so, you know, obviously Alabama missed LT Overton and Jam Miller. And Georgia missed their best offensive lineman, Drew Bobo, the center. And they missed their best perimeter receiver, Colby Young. He'd been out since earlier in the year, and then they had the guy that replaced him, Noah Thomas. He only played one snap. So Georgia's without a perimeter receiver and a center. Alabama's without a defensive end and a running back. You know, Georgia gets the first break. They block a punt. And, you know, that's an intangible. It's not going to happen every game. But when it does, there's momentum. And so Georgia took the early momentum. And it fed on itself. You know, these guys were pretty jacked up. You know, they had a, you know, pregame speech where somebody's saying how many hours and how many days everybody's been on practice and how hard you've worked all this time and, you know, getting these guys thinking about how many. And then somebody said, okay, now how many of you in the room have beat Alabama, stand up? There are two guys stood up in the whole room that were still around, you know, back when they beat them in the title game. Two guys. That's pretty powerful pregame speech right there. And, you know, that's not to say it's all about pregame, but you're asking what are some little intangible things because we watched Alabama. I mean, well, the game up here was like two games. Alabama wins the first half, 24-14. Georgia wins the second half, 7-0. So, I mean, it's, and I looked at the schedule and my God, these teams are going to play the next 2 years too. I know Georgia's tired of seeing Alabama on the schedule. I mean, they got their win. You know, can they enjoy it a couple years now? No, they got to go to Tuscaloosa next year. You know, that's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. You know, in the end, though, Alabama got in the playoff, and they should. They deserve to be there. I mean, they beat ranked teams. I mean, look, they said schedule strength was going to matter, and it did. And Alabama, yeah, they got a bad loss on the road in the first game against Florida State. But they've also got more quality wins than everybody. And they had to play Georgia twice. And you can't penalize them for playing that extra game. You just can't. You know, those other teams, you can't just assume they would have won. So if you want to maintain these champions, and look, we're not going to maintain this. This isn't going to last. They've got to expand the playoff, and they got to go to play-in games. They have to.
Yeah.
They just have to.
Yeah, I would think if you had this weekend Notre Dame playing James Madison and Vanderbilt playing Tulane, and then the winners get in, that the football would never stop. I think it would be good for college football there. What's the right number, Mike? 16? That's 14 if you did it that way. Have a play-in weekend prior to the playoff actually starting. What's the best number?
Well, I'm thinking more like 24.
Oh.
But here's how I'd do it. You know, I would do the play-in weekend. I would try to keep the championship games, and I would make there be an incentive. So you have the top two teams play in the league, and then you have number three play number eight, number four plays number seven, and number five plays number six. And you give that championship team a bye, and the team that loses that game goes in the bracket, you know, with the winners of those play-in games. So your top two teams are automatically in. And then you have three play-in games, so you get five. And you do that in, you know, the four Power Five conferences, four Power Four conferences, excuse me. So you got 20 teams. And then I think you come up with another four. And then you put in the buys and you bracket it out. Now, that's what I like. And here's what you're trying to do. You're trying to take away the disadvantage of the championship game by making everybody else play. You're giving more teams an opportunity to get into the playoff with that play-in game. You're building more inventory of games and therefore more revenue in your television contracts. You're keeping more fan bases engaged. You're keeping more players playing games into the postseason. Look at how many teams have opted out. It's embarrassing. It's bad. You know, who would have ever thought we'd come to a time when a team wouldn't want to go to a bowl game, you know, and have those extra practices and have that time, those guys have that time to get. Well, it's because those games aren't what they used to be. I remember covering Alabama, and I remember Coach Stallings' last game down there in the Tampa in the Outback Bowl when he beat Michigan. And I remember the week leading up to it, and I remember how much fun the players had and the fans had. And, you know, it was just a fun week in Florida. You know, now, you know, you'd have fans looking down their nose at it, saying what a bad season it was, and, you know, nobody traveled for the game, and, you know, they'd be moved on to whatever else because they didn't make the playoff. So, you know, forget this. So it's not what it used to be. And because of that, you know, these traditions have been outgrown and they got to change. And so you got to kind of change with the times. I mean, look, you know, they made a decision to go with an NFL model. They went with a pro model when they started playing players. So now you got to make NFL type decisions. And, you know, a lot of us say, oh, well, I wish we could go back. Well, it isn't going back the way it used to be. It ain't. So you might as well, you know, make the most of what you have and do it in the most equitable way that satisfies your goals. And to me, the play-in games are the way to do that because you're trying to make more money. You're trying to keep more fans engaged. You're trying to, you know, your product is your players. If you don't have your players in December, you're not making money. And that's what you got to do. So this is the way you do it. And not what I like, not what I choose, but, you know, you wake up, it's 2025, and, you know, you got to do what makes sense.
Yeah. We're talking with Mike Griffith, Dog Nation. Mike, I agree with you. Alabama should have made the playoff based on resume. Based on eye test, if it was just eye test, I'd say, maybe not. And based on eye test, I'm shocked, and you tell me why, or maybe you're shocked as well, that Alabama is a 1.5-point favorite at Oklahoma.
Well, a better football team. You know, they're playing on the road, but look at Oklahoma's home record. That shouldn't scare you. Alabama beat them there last year. Alabama should beat. I think Alabama.
No, Alabama lost there last year.
Oh, did they lose there last year? I'm sorry. Well, yeah, I know there were some other teams that beat them. There were some other teams that beat Oklahoma there. Well, they beat them up and down the field this year. They just didn't have more points. You know, if you look at the yards, I just feel like Alabama is a better football team. I feel like Alabama's going to beat Indiana. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see Alabama in the national championship game. I don't know why. I think this team, when it's at its best, I've just got a lot of faith in Kalen DeBoer and Ty Simpson. Those are two guys that, you know, I think really good football coach, really good quarterback. I don't know what's going on in the locker room. I don't know what the team chemistry is like. Those are the things I can't put my finger on or know. I don't know how incentivized these guys are, because ultimately that's what these playoffs come down to. This is a whole new season. I remember I used to like to think, and maybe it was more true back in the day, that the bowl games were a pretty good representation of who the best teams were during the season. I used to think that. But then I learned about what a different season the bowl season is, because coaches have other job opportunities. Players have, you know, breaks. They go back home. They hear from people. People get in their head. Now you get tampered with. You got players that are renegotiating their deal to stay. They're hearing from other schools about leaving. There's just a lot more distractions for a coach to manage. And all that prep time, it's not like that week-to-week rhythm. All of a sudden, it's different. It's not like college basketball where they just glide right into the postseason, man. You know, you're playing two games a week in the league, and you're playing a league tournament, and now you're, okay, here we go, two games some weekend, you know, on a tournament site. No, football, you're taking a big break. And I don't think we need that big break. I think it's got to go away. And I know the nature of the game is that it's more physical. Well, play more guys. You know, be smarter about how you use them. You know, manage your roster better. This is, you know, let's look at the schedule next year. You only got one bye week, and you got a 9-game SEC schedule. Better manage it well.
Yeah.
You know, you better build up that number two and number three running back so you don't have a Jam Miller going in and out. You know, he's a physical player. I don't know if that could have been avoided, but you know, you better protect that guy and make sure he's healthy in the postseason.
Yep.
Any feeling on who'll win this thing? I know that's a silly question because we got a lot of people that. Indiana was a surprise to be Ohio State, which didn't move them. You know, just move them 1-2. But any real feeling about who'll win this thing?
You know, I might come across as a pretty big SEC homer here, but you know, if you're telling me those are the two best teams in the country. They score 23 points playing indoors in a championship game. I ain't drinking that Kool-Aid. I'm not drinking that Kool-Aid. I mean, I don't see it. I think those two teams have been overrated all year. Some committee's trying to tell me they're number one. Well, that committee ain't got nobody from the SEC on it. They got Hunter Yurecek from Arkansas basketball school. You know, the three former coaches had nothing to do with the SEC. They're on that committee. They're supposed to be the experts. So you would think they would respect the SEC, but that's not how it works. And let me tell you, you guys know this. There is so much jealousy among these coaches. You guys might call me a homer for saying this, but this whole Clark Lea over Kirby Smart SEC Coach of the Year thing, you might say, well, no, wait a minute. Vanderbilt won 10 games. They'd never done that. Yeah, no, they hadn't, but they'd never had 15 graduate transfers starting on the football field and a Heisman Trophy finalist who shouldn't even be playing because his eligibility ran out, if not for a court injunction. So you're going to tell me that winning 10 games, none over teams that are currently ranked in the top 25, by the way, with 15 graduate transfers, how old are these guys, 23, 24 years old? A six-year quarterback whose eligibility clock expired, shouldn't be playing, but got a court injunction because we brought the courts into this junk, is more impressive than Kirby Smart replacing 17 guys that went to the NFL and seven guys, including his quarterback and elite edge rusher that left in the portal. Against the schedule and won the SEC and beat four teams in the top 25. You're going to tell me that? No, it's not true. And then I'm going to look at the all-SEC team picked by the coaches. And you're going to tell me there's only one Georgia guy that's first team on offense or defense? It can't be both ways. Either Kirby's got great players and doesn't deserve it, and there ought to be four or five Georgia guys first team, or he did a hell of a job. But no, these coaches aren't voting for Kirby Smart. They're not going to give him coaching. I mean, hell, Dabo Swinney won the ACC nine times. He only won Coach of the Year twice. The pettiness and the jealousy is pathetic. I said the same thing about Nick Saban not winning National Coach of the Year. He should have won it several times. Oh, well, you know, he's just supposed to win. Well, that's BS, man. You got to earn those wins. You got to go out on the road and recruit. You got to sell your program. You got to build that locker room. And those guys still got to perform. But we're in this society. We're in this participation trophy society where we want to give everybody a medal. Oh, here you go, Vandy. Here's a medal for trying hard. I mean, the guy won Coach of the Year last year, too, and he went 7-6. Hell, let's give Vanderbilt a medal every year. And you know why they got all this money? Because they didn't put any money in their facility for decades. It was a crappy place to go if you're a fan. They didn't spend on it. Well, now they're spending money, and and listen, I like Clark Lee. I think he's a stand-up guy. I think he's a really good football coach. But, I read a headline today. This is in a little local paper. Such-and-such dance team wins runner-up in the state. No, they didn't win. They finished second. Hey, you know what? I won third place in a 5K in the men's, 50 to 60. Hey, I didn't realize I won. It says third place on the damn medal they gave me. But I'm going to tell people I won. Hey, I know. How'd you do? I won. I won third place. Wait a minute. You won or you finished in third place? This is where this world is at right now. It's unbelievable.
It's how you run basketball camps. See, I have the little bitty kids, and you take three of them, and they do a wall pass, and they pass for 30 seconds, and whoever gets the most wins. So out of those three, you get a first, second, and third. So I gave them first, second, and third. That lady came up to me after camp. That little boy had that ribbon. She said, little Johnny got third. I had no idea he was that good. I said, yes, ma'am, he is. He did a great job. and guess what? She paid again next year, Mike. Hey, so there you go.
Well, you know what? They ain't paying at LSU for winning 70%. Hey, guys, I can hear that train come down the tracks right now. Here it comes, Lane Kiffin going to LSU. I'm looking up saying, wait a minute, those tracks break right about where that gap in the canyon is. Yeah, but it's going down the tracks right now. Everybody's happy. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. I see that train coming right there. There's going to be something else here next few years.
Should be fun. Mike, tell everybody where they can find you.
Thanks, Mike.
Well,
you're great.
JC.com, and you mentioned Dog Nation, same organization, but AJC.com, we go a little longer and deeper on some stuff. And you can find me on Twitter at MikeGriffith32. And I do like talking a lot about Alabama football and Georgia football because they're the best teams in the league. I guess the rest of the people, there's some people out there want to read about Vanderbilt and give their coach awards and all that for not winning. God help us if he ever wins something, I mean, I just look at it and I say, well, he just flipped the number one quarterback from Georgia, so he won that one. I'll say that.
Yeah.
I'll give him credit for that. That's going to be something else. But it's going to be interesting, guys. I the game I want to see, I'm just going to tell you. I want to see the Alabama Crimson Tide lined up across from Indiana in the Rose Bowl. I want to see that game. I've got to see it with my own two eyes to believe that Indiana can beat Alabama because I'm just not believing it. I've got to see it with my own two eyes. Experts can say whatever they want. This guy can win the Heisman Trophy Saturday, Mendoza. He was Georgia's number one target in the portal. Maybe he is the best quarterback. But until I see it with my own two eyes, I do not believe, and I'm just getting Oklahoma's an afterthought. They ain't got an offense. Alabama's going to win that game. I got to see Indiana beat Alabama. I do not believe that is going to happen. I just can't believe it. So that's what – you ask me what I'm looking forward to in the playoffs. That's the game I got to see with my own two eyes.
Sounds great. Thank you, Mike.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Mike. Appreciate
you.
All right.
He's a little more confident on Alabama beating Oklahoma than me. I don't think we had to ask what Tom wanted to ask, what he thought about Alabama. I think he thinks pretty highly of Alabama based on that.
All right. Interview. Get the first question.
All right. We'll take the break here. We'll get to the top of the hour.
It's where your Christmas shopping begins and your holiday spirit feels right at home.
Holiday hours Monday through Saturday and Sunday 1 to 5 at Northport.
Tell them Van the Bootman sent you.
What does it mean to advertise and do your marketing with Town Square Media Tuscaloosa? Melissa started her business in 2014. What would you say to someone considering Town Square Media Tuscaloosa?
My experience with Town Square Media has been awesome, and I would definitely recommend it to anyone. I think that this is the first time in my marketing experience that I've been able to see my return on investment. I would definitely say in the past that has not been the case. And this, I like knowing that that's 100%. A lot of the marketing we've done has been radio. You guys have so much more to offer than that, whether it's, you know, websites from targeted marketing to radio. You are kind of a one-stop shop, and it makes doing marketing so much easier. So I would definitely recommend it.
From Tide, sold in stadium and at bars, restaurants, and stores near you. Must be 21. Please drink responsibly.
WTBC Tuscaloosa and W265 CG Tuscaloosa, a Town Square Media station. Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
From the Fox Sports studios in Los Angeles, here's Steve DeSager.
The Atlanta Falcons, who were 4-9, got a comeback victory at Tampa Bay Thursday night, 29-28 on a field goal on the final play, a win despite 19 penalties by the Falcons in the game. Kyle Pitts finished with 3 touchdown receptions. He had 11 catches, 166 yards. Atlanta had trailed 28-14 with 10 minutes left. The AP's College Player of the Year is quarterback Fernando Mendoza of number 1 Indiana. The NBA's late game went to Denver and a laugher at Sacramento, 136-105, 36 points for Nikola Jokic. New Orleans ended a 7-game losing streak, ripping Portland 143-120. Milwaukee beat Boston 116-101, 31 points for Kyle Kuzma. Houston edged the Clippers 115-113. In college hoops, number 4 Iowa State beat Iowa. NHL wins for Boston, Minnesota, and Colorado.
You're tuned in to Inside the Locker Room with legendary Alabama basketball head coach Wim Sanderson and former SEC and ACC assistant basketball coach Barry Sanderson, a father-son duo with decades of coaching experience, breaking down the latest in Alabama athletics with the insight only two coaches can bring. From the hardwood to the gridiron, from inside Coleman Coliseum to the heart of Bryant-Denny Stadium, if it's happening in Crimson Tide sports, you'll hear it here first. With analysis, opinion, and straight talk that cuts through the noise. Live weekday mornings from 7 to 9 a.m. on Tide 100.9 FM and 1230 a.m. WTBC. This is where champions get their day started. This is Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry Sanderson.
Welcome back to the second hour of Inside the Locker. Fun first hour. Mike Griffith talking with Philip Tom. So we enjoyed that first hour very much. Tuscaloosa Toyota. Go to the website, TuscaloosaToyota.com. Man, that Tundra, 2.99 APR for the first 72 months, plus a $1,000 holiday cash back. That Tacoma, I got my eyes on that Tacoma, 2.49 APR, 36 months also. $1,000 back of holiday cash. So it's a great time to get any one of their vehicles out there at Tuscaloosa Toyota. Swing by 3325 Skyland Boulevard. Find Justin and tell him that Wimp and Barry sent you. All right, we're also going to talk a little Bryant Bank. We'll also talk a little everything with David Kendra. David, the former ACA Patriot, went to Ole Miss. Shelton State for the great Bobby Sproul. You were laughing the other day when Coach Sproul called in and talked to us on the show, David, then finished up at the University of Alabama. Good morning. Does color now for the SEC Network. Also works at Bryant Bank. David Kendra. Good morning, David. How are you, my man?
Hello, David.
Good morning, Barry. Good morning, Coach. Glad to be on.
How's everything going?
Man, everything is good. It's a busy Friday. Everybody gearing up for Christmas, and has not changed anything at the bank. It's trying to get everything packed in before the year end, tax implications, and not a better time to talk to your most local banker. So it's been a busy week for us, but trying to get some Christmas shopping done. I'm a late shopper. I put the reliability. My wife does a phenomenal job, but I do like to sprinkle in some good gifts here and there.
Yeah, but this it's if you're shopping now, you're not late. You're way early. I don't go out till like the 23rd.
So. Y'all look kind of like a jingle all the way, Mom.
Well, no, Jenny's that's great. Jenny's ordering and getting it, and this, that, and the other. Then I said, well, maybe that you know, I know what you wanted, but they didn't have it. And of course, she always says, well, if you didn't wait until the 23rd, but anyway, the Braves talk just a little baseball, then we'll talk a little football with you as well. But now's when these guys start signing these ridiculous contracts. The designated hitter. For the Phillies, I don't know what it was, 150-something million. But the Braves picked up a closer yesterday from the Padres, Robert Suarez. I'm probably butchering his name, but I know my wife was happy. She's a big Braves fan. But just talk about some of these free agent signings, and the Dodgers seem to get richer every time this time of year.
Yeah, it's you know, this is time to free agent signings and to solidify your back end pitching with again, at least for the Braves, and signing Robert Suarez to a 3-year deal. Again, got him from the Mets, who's you know obviously an in division rival. But yeah, it's interesting to see the Pete Alonso getting the Orioles deal. These guys signing lucrative contracts, and you know, baseball is the only, only one the deals are all guaranteed. So I kind of think about it like our guy that I grew up playing against, David Robertson, played at Alabama. He's gotten all these. He's been the closer, setup guy for years, and I think last year he got re-signed to the Phillies after he signed a lucrative deal, a 1-year deal with them with the Phillies, and then he's pitched like 3 innings and unfortunately got hurt. But those deals are guaranteed. So it's interesting how baseball works, and I was listening to your prior caller, and it's kind of how college athletics is turning into, is where it's the money is going into on the field and not on the sidelines. And you know, obviously for the Braves, signing Walt Weiss to a deal where you get a guy that you know you have some familiarity with, but you know you can probably get a conservative deal, and then you can turn that around and put it to on the field. And I think that's what you're seeing. You're seeing a lot of coaches go, head coaches and managers getting younger and younger because they can get those deals at a more conservative or shorter value, and then build a fort around them with good assistant coaches. And I think that's what you're going to continue to see bleed into the college arena in all sports.
Yeah, that.
I think small market teams in the Major League Baseball, like Cleveland, are a little bit like small market teams, small market programs in the SEC. They're never going to be able to have a consistent big-time winner that is going to compete for a championship. And I think both of those are parallel with each other, in that you know, the small market teams, I'm a Cleveland fan, just has a much more difficult time of really being able to you know, win a championship.
I would say, to your point, it's think about it too, and I agree with you. It's these small market teams like Cincinnati Reds and those type of teams. And think about it again, going into colleges, where those small market teams, maybe the end goal is not to win a championship, but to be somewhat profitable and bring economic impact to your specific city. Everybody's goals are different. I think, again, colleges where, hey, these ADs are having to think about it. Each sport is, what is the economic driver where I'm going to have to balance and say, hey, this can't be a money loser, or, hey, we may not win on the field, but we saved ourselves some money and we put a good product out on the field that people are coming to watch. I'm a competitor. Don't get me wrong. I want to win, but think about it from these GMs. And if you're an AD, you got to think about balancing the balance sheet in this day and age where I think there's a lot of universities out there that are having to staring down the barrel of possibly looking at, does this sport make economic sense, and we may have to close some doors. Now, I think at Alabama, that's not something that you're really having to think about, but some of these smaller market teams are really now considering those, and I think you're going to see that probably the next 3 to 5 years. Unfortunately, I hate to see that.
You know, just turn to college baseball for a minute, and then we'll talk a little football. You know, what do the college guys do this time of year? I know Jack and those guys, everybody's kind of going home and they're kind of working out on their own. These, you know, SEC teams, they probably had to call in some guys and say, you're not coming back next semester. We need to help you find a place to go based on what happened in fall ball and having to get these rosters down. I know there is probably some wiggle room on the numbers initially, maybe with the NCAA not putting everything in place right away. But what is this time of year? Because when they get back, it's full steam ahead, getting ready for the season. What does this downtime look like for a college baseball guy?
Well, it can be quite stressful depending on where you are on the roster. And I know whether you're at a Power 4 on a Power 4 team at the end of the fall, again, just for those out there, the fall, I mean, you're scrimmaging almost every weekend, and you're playing a lot of games, a lot of innings. So when you get to this point, a lot of these coaches are evaluating these guys annually because a lot of them have not been at a school for 2 or 3 years. So your resume on the field is very short in the fall with all these games. So some of these conversations are going to be tough. Now, again, for the Power Fours, I believe it's next year, but they've got to get ready for a hard 27-man roster. And I know they're going to be
– It's 34, right? 34 roster.
Yes, correct. 34 yeah. Roster, 27-man travel squad. Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you for that. That's what I meant. That's what it's going to go into effect next year, but I think they're starting to prepare for that because you can't have bloated rosters. So with all that being said, a lot of these conversations are the matter of, hey, this is where you performed in the fall, Johnny. We see you at this point. And they may say, hey, we want you back, but we see you more in a back-end type of role. And that player may say, hey, I need more innings, and may make a decision to go junior college, which I think junior college is probably going to play the biggest impact in college baseball, shuffling around and limiting the roster space. So I think for like Shelton State and a lot of these schools, they're going to see a lot of kids that are coming from Alabama's and Auburn's and Power 4 schools that just say, hey, we don't see you here, but these guys need the innings and they need the at bat to then turn around and come back to Division I Power 4.
Yeah, it's hard to get innings anywhere and at bats. You better be good. I don't care what level you're at down in college. These guys can really play. All right, real quick, Alabama didn't play well against Georgia. I thought they were in the playoff all along. I started to waver a little bit the last week, but it seems like they were. Can they get this team healthy and ready to go at Oklahoma, in your opinion?
I always look at in postseason play in all sports is which team is coming in, with their last 2 or 3 games, which team's playing really well, which team is limping in. Now, did Alabama deserve to be in the playoff? Absolutely. But are they playing their best football? No. I mean, the way you finish that, I think that's going to be a determining factor of what's your attitude as a team. What is the focus of this team? And y'all talked about it the prior call to me. It was what is all these things that these GMs of the colleges are dealing with, these kids coming in focused on? Are they focused on what they needed to do to get better? Or are they focused on what is the next move for them personally? I don't know. What I can speak to is Alabama's going on the road to Oklahoma. Oklahoma's owned them. Again, Alabama didn't play a great game at home. Oklahoma beat them. I'll say this. I'm scratching my head at why Alabama's favored in there. But when you start looking at Oklahoma, as bad as Alabama's offense been the last 2 or 3 games, Oklahoma's offense has been pretty bad too. So to me, the factor is which defense can really hold the line. Because Alabama's, I'll say this, I thought Alabama's defense played really well against Georgia. Now, again, it was just, Georgia played really well. Offense didn't really help them out. But I really do think that this college football playoff is who's playing the best football right now. And it hasn't been Alabama to this point, but everything's still in front of them.
Yeah. All right, David, we love the relationship with Bryant Bank. Tell everybody what everything you guys got going on over there.
Again, thank y'all for having me on and working locally with customers, businesses, and individuals. And I talked about it earlier. Is your banker out there? Somebody you can pick up the phone and talk with at a moment's notice? And I think I'm taking calls after hours, sometimes on the weekends, and I think that's something that you need in a banker at times, especially when stuff is time sensitive or you need to pull the trigger on something. You need a banker that you can call on and rely on. It's not somebody who's going to, call you the next day or a couple of days down the road, or they got busy with something else. Bryant Bank and the bankers here are here to help you, especially when it deals with security or your money. That's what you need in a banker, and that's what you can get at Bryant Bank. We make those local decisions, and we're here and available for our customers. And if you're not one of ours, we would love to talk to you if you don't feel like you're getting that tender love and care. So check us out, bryantbank.com. Call us up, ask for me, ask for any of our bankers, and we'll promise to take care of you.
Thank you, David. Have a great weekend. Right.
Thank you, David.
Yeah, guys, y'all too. Thank y'all.
All right, you looking to get that house, guys, or your commercial real estate place clean? Let me highly recommend Alabama Pro Wash. They know you're proud of your property. The dirt, mold, and grime on your brick, stucco, or siding makes even the most cared for home or business seem neglected. Their services include residential and commercial exterior cleaning, low pressure soft washing, window cleaning, shingle restoration, concrete cleaning, and drone services cleaning for the hard to reach areas. Estimates are free, so give them a call, 205-799-9069. Expect quality exterior cleaning for your home and business when you call my people out at Alabama Pro Wash. All right, what? You're going to get to hear Chiseled in Stone. It turned out to be Jace, whatever his name is. Favorite.
It's time to get super sure. Not kind of sure, not pretty sure, not a little sure, but super sure. The seismic shift is coming. Super sure, coming soon.
Crimson Tide today, presented by Pearl River Resort in Choctaw, Mississippi. Online at pearlriverresort.com. And Tuscaloosa Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram. Online at TuscaloosaCDJR.com. And by DCH Regional Medical Center. Online at DCHSystem.com.
From the University of Alabama, this is Crimson Tide Today. It's a daily update on Bama sports, and it's brought to you by the Good Feet Store, helping people get back to the life they love without their feet getting in the way. Start your journey today at goodfeet.com. Hello again, everybody. I'm Roger Hoover. On Thursday's edition of Crimson Drive, driven by NASCAR, we were joined by former Alabama basketball standout and SEC Network analyst Richard Hendricks.
He's agile. He can score on the block. He's a load on offensive rebounding, and he can even knock down an outside shot. So I think Alabama's woes have always been this season. It's about what can you do as far as interior play and protecting teams that have the ability to post you up and go inside. We've been able to see that Purdue was able to have some success against Alabama. Gonzaga as well. But I do think that this Alabama team, and Nate Oates has his squad motivated. They're playing much better in that protected in that level of the game. And they'll have another challenge. And more than anything, a big opportunity for Alabama to pick up a significant win that will bolster their NCAA tournament resume to knock off the number one overall seed and top ranked team right now in Arizona.
I'll have more in a moment.
This is Christian Miller for the Good Feet Store. I know from playing football at Alabama and in the NFL that if you have foot, knee, hip, or back pain, it can be a huge challenge. The Good Feet Store is designed to personally fit you with arch supports that alleviate and even eliminate your pain altogether. Try them before you buy them during your free, no obligation, personalized fitting, and you can wear them home the same day. So if you're looking to improve your game, the Good Feet Store has you covered. Stop in for a free, personalized fitting today. Roll to victory at goodfeet.com. That's goodfeet.com. Roll Tide.
Join us on Saturday for Crimson Tide men's basketball against number one Arizona in Birmingham. Tip-off from Legacy Arena is set for 8:30 p.m. Central, with our coverage on the network starting at 7:30 p.m. Crimson Tide Today is brought to you by the Good Feet Store. Crimson Tide Today is a production of the Crimson Tide Sports Network from Learfield.
Tide 100.9, Tuscaloosa weather.
A nice warm-up today, mostly sunny, the high 61. Tonight, fair with a low at 41. Tomorrow, increasingly cloudy, maybe a little light rain tomorrow night, the high 62. Much colder Sunday, windy with temperatures falling through the 30s. I'm James Fan with the Alabama Weather Network on Tide 100.9. It's 35 degrees in Tuscaloosa.
You're listening to Inside the Locker Room with Wimp and Barry, only on Tide 100.9 and streaming on the Tide 100.9 app.
You ran crying to the bedroom. I ran off to the bar. Another piece of heaven gone to heaven. The words we spoke in anger just tore my world apart. And I sit there feeling sorry for myself. Then an old man sat down beside me and looked me in.
Welcome back to Inside Locker. What a song. What a song. That's Chase's favorite song. I hate he's not here today to hear that song. But we're going to get to the Yellowwood Hotline and talk to the NABC District 6 Coach of the Year, Ohio Valley Coach of the Year, two-time SEC Coach of the Year, CAA Coach of the Year, Alabama Sports Hall of Fame, the leading liquor salesman in the state of Tennessee, all-time record there. Coach, get the applause ready, Wyatt. Coach Sonny Smith. Good morning, Coach. How are you, sir?
Hey, Sonny.
I don't know who's calling.
Yes, sir. Now, last week, I tried to do a little segment to see how well you guys knew each other, and that was highly disappointing that you guys don't know anything about each other, and you compete against each other at work side by side. Y'all don't even know where each other went to school. That was pitiful last week by you two.
What was the other guy? Who was the U2 guy? Me and who?
You and what's his name? Dad, you still there?
I am. I'm here.
He's sick, Coach. He's been sick.
Hey, no, don't tell me. Are you really? Yes. How are you doing?
I'm fine.
Are you still moving right when you get up? Losing your balance?
Yes. Yeah, a little bit. Still drift a little to the right. I don't know. It's a balance thing. It's part of. I'd have to ask the doctor, and then I still wouldn't know. But it's not really bad. Just occasionally, let's put it that way.
You don't fall, do you? That's the big thing.
Well, I did one time. That's what created the problem of where I could balance myself properly, and I'm doing it pretty good now, so I'm okay.
What do you want us to talk about this morning?
Anything but my balance. I'm so balanced, so it takes me a week to talk about how balanced I am. And nothing to talk about, is it? What's going on at Alabama? Anything?
Well,
no, they go ahead there.
Well,
no, go ahead.
They lost to Georgia in Atlanta in the SEC championship game. So they made the playoffs. They're going to travel out to Oklahoma, who beat them here early in the year, 23-21. Alabama had three turnovers, so everybody thinks Alabama's going to go out there and beat Oklahoma at Oklahoma in the playoffs. What does Sonny Smith say?
I say that they will.
Really?
Yeah, you got a heck of a football coach there, and you've done extremely well. Why not pull for him?
Yeah,
I know you're pulling for him. I'm pulling for him, too.
Yeah.
What's his name?
Kalen.
Kalen, oh, yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, Kalen DeBoer. So.
DeBoer, I didn't know his last name was DeBoer. I thought it was Caleb. So I guess I've been pulling for the wrong guy, huh?
Yeah. And then tomorrow night, Coach, Nate Oates and the Alabama Crimson Tide, take on Arizona, and they're playing them in Birmingham. Now, Auburn was at Arizona last Saturday. I don't know if you stayed awake to watch it, but it didn't turn out very well for Auburn. I think they lost by 29. So we'll see if Alabama can knock off the Wildcats. 8:30 tip up at Legacy Arena. Your thoughts about that game?
Well, I'll be anxious to hear or see whatever it is that I can do and see how they compare with, say, Auburn. Are they that much better? Or are they about the same kind of team, that kind of thing? Yeah. I'll be making comparisons. I don't know what I'll do, but that's what I'm going to do.
That's what you're going to do. There you go. That.
Do you know anything at all about Auburn's team, Sonny?
No, I don't. So, because of recent medical problems, I don't get to go up there at all.
Okay. Anything that you watched on NASCAR that would be of interest to others?
Well, NASCAR's doing well. They're going through a lot of lawsuits now. People are suing them for problems that I couldn't talk about on the radio because I don't know enough, and that's a big deal with people that are really interested in NASCAR. So I can't tell you what the problem is, but they're going through some problems now with creating lawsuits and that type of thing. You may get somebody on from NASCAR and talk about that.
Yeah, something to do with Michael Jordan.
Michael Jordan.
Yeah, I don't know what it's all about, but it got settled. They settled it yesterday, so I don't even know what they settled. But
he owns a 23 car, and it's driven by a guy from Alabama, Bubba Wallace.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a serious problem with one of their cars didn't pass inspection, and they've been a bit real deal about that, but I don't know enough to talk about it, so I won't do it.
Yeah, well, you knew more than we did. I guess 23 is for Michael Jordan. Who's the best race car driver of all time, Coach?
I'd have to say Dale Earnhardt.
Yeah.
Dale Earnhardt's the best I ever saw and best I ever watched and the best I ever knew. Now, I tell you, I give you a close second. The Alabama guy, his name's Bobby Allison. Bobby Allison was probably as good and the brothers, yeah. And Davey, the son, was a great driver too, Davey Allison. So they've been some great NASCAR drivers from the state of Alabama for sure.
Yeah. Maybe I'll ask you too some controversial stuff. Is cheerleading a sport, Sonny?
Well, I watched it like it was. I was always waiting for it to come on so I could see it.
Cheerleading a sport.
Well, some of it is and some of it isn't. I think part of it is, not all of it.
Which part is a sport?
Well, when they're on the football fields, I guess
it's more a sport. Of a sport.
I don't know. Cheerleaders. The actions that they have to go through, the dances and all that stuff, you got to be a good athlete to be a cheerleader.
All right. That's what.
Wimp ought to know. Wimp was a cheerleader, wasn't he?
I think he was the mascot.
He's a mascot. Yeah, he is.
Yeah.
Big difference there. Big difference.
I was a cheerleader on the sidelines.
Yeah. Could Bobby Knight coach in today's game? With NIL and all that.
He couldn't coach Charles Barkley. He kicked him off.
You know, I don't know. Knight created his own image, you know, by he'd cuss a little bit just to get everybody fired up about things. So I don't know if that type of action would be okay today. What it really would mean is he's going to do it. He'd have to win all the time to keep people off his back.
Yeah, I don't know. I think it'd be tough on him. But, you know, Kirby Smart's tough on him. He seems to be doing fine. Somebody wanted to ask you why Tony Stewart is not one of the best NASCAR drivers of all times.
Well, he was one of the very best. And he lost his ride, not for anything except the fact that they didn't have the sponsorships that they needed. So he just sponsored his own car, but when he did that, he didn't drive it. So he's not driving. He can be a car owner now, but he's not a driver.
Who is your best radio sidekick ever, Coach Smith?
I think it was you. You know, your voice was so good. I was with some guys that their voice was so bad I couldn't even understand what they said.
Yeah.
But now you're better. You're my number one right now. Who's the others? I don't remember them.
I don't know. When you did color commentating for Auburn basketball, did you ever think a ref got a call right against Auburn?
I think one time, and I think I was wrong on that one.
Yeah.
I got a call.
Go ahead, Coach.
I said I got a call on that one, though, the league office. But
I believe it.
I ain't gonna talk about that.
Dad, was Sonny Smith the biggest homer radio color guy ever?
Oh, well, he was close. I tell you, Wimp Sanderson had the lead most of the time. Oh, he was terrible. Only difference between Wimp Sanderson and Sonny Smith was honesty. Now, you figure out which one was honest. I'll leave it up to you.
He would call me and say, did you hear Sonny on the radio? Did you hear him?
Yeah. Did you hear what he said?
Oh, who was it? Ted Valentine? What did he say? How many Final Fours has Ted Valentine been to? He let you know real fast, didn't he, Coach?
Oh, he did.
Ted Valentine's still living?
Yeah, he's living.
I think so.
Yeah.
I don't need to know. I might run and let him lose his life.
Did TV Ted ever give you a technical?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Yes, he did. Oh, I got a few technicals. I didn't get as many as Wimp because I was better looking than him, so he'd get that scowl of his on, and they'd put the T on him.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
hey, it's been a terrible thing. Ask me a good question.
Dad, ask him a good question.
I don't really have a good question for him. Best question for us is to let him go. He don't know jack crap.
what was the best selling liquor up in Tennessee when you guys were bootlegging?
Well, we made our own, and you make it with a lot of different things. But we used a lot of sugar in ours because they seem to like the liquor when it's a little bit sweet.
Yeah,
sweet tasting liquor they called it.
Yeah, there you go.
Go to Greg's house and get you a swig.
Can you pronounce the name of the new football coach at all?
Yeah, if you would tell me who it is, I would.
Hugh Freeze.
Yes. Hugh Freeze. He's really good. Is he going to make a comeback?
No. That's what the Gomer said.
No.
The Gomer said that. Okay.
The Gomer said he got a raw deal.
What's the word on the new football coach at Auburn? What's your caller's name?
What's his name, Sonny?
Golish. Coach Golish. He's Russian, Coach.
I know that. I had some relatives from there, they said. But it's Russian North Carolina, I think, is what he's talking about.
I don't know. Dad, tell him what your thoughts are on Coach Golish.
Well, I think Coach Golish is very good on the offensive side and a very good recruiter. Those are two factors that they needed. And they kept the defensive coordinator, who's very good. And he was a candidate for the job. They went the other direction because the offense was so good. So I think Auburn's going to be better on both sides of the ball now and maybe have a decent recruiting year.
Yeah. That's what Wimp just said is what most of the guys are saying that I hang around with, you know. They seem to think Auburn made a solid lick there on that hire.
Yeah, well, y'all have had a lot of coaches down there lately. Hopefully y'all stick with one and they can start winning. So
They only had one that I can remember that was really good.
Yeah, who was that, Pat Dye?
Sonny Smith.
Oh, yeah, well, basketball, that goes without saying. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you want to know who a football coach
is? I said you're in the Auburn Hall of Fame. They don't put you in the Hall of Fame unless you were good.
I'm in a lot of Hall of Fame. So one day when we've got a longer listening period, I'll tell you all of them.
There you go. All right, Coach, we're going to take a break. We're going to get Mike Norholtz on. You remember Mike Norholtz?
Yeah, Yes, I do. Tell Mike I said hello.
We'll do it. Coach, have a great weekend.
You guys have a great weekend. Thanks for having me on. I didn't give you much today, but, got to go.
Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Sonny.
All right there, Coach Sonny Smith. There, he knew all about that race car driver, though. There you go. All right, we'll take the break. Mike Norholtz scored 53 with no three-point line. Wyatt, that's hard to do. Pete Maravich scored how many? 60-something with no three-point line. That's hard to do as well. We'll talk to Mike when we get. Mike listens to the show. He sends me text.com
and change your life. That's right, guys. Change your life by going to primetimemensclinic.com.
For more from Tide 100.9,
let it fly. And
follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and SoundCloud.
Welcome back to Inside the Locker Room. On this date, in 1966, Southern Miss, you played Southern Miss, and this guy we're about to go to got 50. Did he play any defense when you get 50?
Yeah, he did. I mean, let me tell about Mike when he gets home. Thank you. Mike, good morning.
Yes, sir. How you doing?
I'm doing fine.
Good.
I think it was, Barry, and for our listeners, it was 61 years ago. Is that the right number? Is that the right, Mike? 61?
Yeah, it seems like yesterday, doesn't it?
Yeah. 61 years ago, I was in the state of Georgia, and I was trying to find players. And I had heard about Mike, but I had not seen him. I ran into Rex Frederick, who was at Georgia. And I said, Rex, and Rex is a great friend of mine. He played at Auburn, great person. He calls me a lot. I said, Rex, who's the best player in the state of Georgia? And he said, boy, I'll tell you one thing. Mario's got a guard, Mike Norholtz, who's really good. From that sentence there, I went over to see him. And he was really, really good. And I started recruiting him. The only problem, Barry, was that his daddy was adamant that if he practiced or played any day, they would have to tape his ankles. If we didn't tape his ankles and didn't promise to tape his ankles, he wasn't coming. He wasn't interested. We had to tape his ankles.
I was pretty cheap, Barry. It didn't take much to get me.
No.
No money.
This sounds like nothing, but if you want to deal with his daddy, it ain't no fun. Because every time it ain't no fun. His daddy's passed away, but it ain't no fun to deal with his daddy because you couldn't tell where his daddy's coming from. His daddy liked me, but he never could say much. I may get this wrong, but I'm on the way. I've said this before. I'm on the way, I think, to sign him. I believe that's right.
No, you were on the way to watch me play.
Okay, to watch you play. I'm sorry.
We're playing Maryland.
They played this team five times and beat them all five for the state championship. And President Kennedy is assassinated. I'm not saying it's funny. And so on the way over there, I called the school to see if they're going to play the game. And the principal, whoever answered the phone, this is double check it and said, yes, they're going to play. It was a tournament thing. I called wherever I called to find out. Whatever function Mike was in, I may not be telling. 61 years is a long time for me, too. Mike, isn't that correct?
Yes. Yeah, it was a regular season game, but yes, it was a game. And he got shot on Friday afternoon, and unbelievably, we played the game that night. Hmm. And it was, the NFL played their games on Sunday, and Pete Rozelle always said it was the worst mistake he ever made playing those games. But it was just such a shock to everybody. We played Marist that night in Atlanta, And the gym at that time is where the Marriott Marquis is now.
Wow. What was the most you scored in high school one night, Mike?
The most in high school was 36, I believe.
Yeah.
Well, Mike, not only a left-handed shooter, he's not only a great player, but a great person. But our teams were not as good as Mike was. And the guys around him were really good guys. Tom Jones, I've talked to him some. We lost one, Guy Lee Turner, Joe McDaniel, and we lost Guy Lee Turner in an accident, which was a heartbreaker for us. But Mike, tell us what you've been doing since all those years have gone by.
Oh, well, I coached for 12 years at Rockdale County High School, Western Kentucky, and Gainesville College. And then one day in January, Joe Dean gave me a call and wanted to know if I'd go to work for Converse. And I told him, I'll talk to you, but I can't talk to you in January. I'll talk to you when the season's over. And he called me the Monday after the season ended. And long story short, I ended up working for Converse and Joe for 14 and a half years. And it was great. And then after that, I just stayed in the sporting goods business. I worked for McDavid, which was a sports medical company, and retired 4 years ago, and had 37 years in the sporting goods business and 12 years in coaching.
Tell us about the night you got 50. Are you aware that you're getting close to it? Obviously, that record still stands here at the University of Alabama. Nobody's broken. You would think maybe with a 3-point line somebody would have gotten it, but they haven't. Tell us about that night, Mike.
Well, we played Southern Miss 2 weeks earlier in Hattiesburg, and they beat us. They had a little classic over there. It was a 2-game deal, and they beat us. Southern Miss had a good team. They had the Ladner brothers. One of them ended up on an NBA roster, and one of them ended up on an ABA roster. So they had a really good team, and they beat us over there at their place, I don't know, 4 or 5 points. So when they came back to Tuscaloosa, it was warming up. It didn't act like it was any different than any other game. And the game just started, and, you know, some nights they just all go in early. And they tried to play us man-to-man, which was good for me. And so at halftime, the announcers, you know, would announce the scores, and they said I had 27 points, and that was the first time it dawned on me that, well, that is a lot of points for halftime. And so the second half started, and I got some baskets, and the game went along. It was a close game. And with about 10 minutes to go in the game, I got my fourth foul. Mm. And they, of course, obviously had to take me out. And the crowd, you could hear the crowd kind of groaning and mumbling and everything. I didn't realize at that time how close I was. So I sat out for, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 minutes.
I got you back in there.
Yeah, I got back in and got fouled. I remember getting fouled, and I missed the first free throw. And the crowd was like, "Well, you bum, make some shots. We're here. We're trying to get you to." I think the record was 47, and so I made the second one, and that gave me 46. And a couple of minutes later, I made a basket, and the crowd went crazy. There wasn't many people, to be honest with you. It wasn't a huge crowd. And they all started cheering, and the game was still going on. And we ended up winning. We ended up pulling ahead at the end. And it was kind of a strange thing. Right toward the end of the game, I just drove down the lane and got tripped. And when I got tripped, I basically just threw the ball up just to get rid of it more than anything. And it went in. And that was the round 50. And
wow.
I was 22 for 30 from the field and 6 for 8 from the free throw line. And Coach will probably tell you that was the most amazing thing. I was 6 for 8 from the free throw line because I wasn't the best free throw shooter in the world. But.
So that game, I guess, was in Foster Auditorium?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Talk about playing in Foster, and then now they got the Coliseum, and then there's a big push here, Mike, and maybe you'd be one to talk about it. You played in Foster, and You've been to games, obviously, in Coleman. Do you think it's time for Alabama to get a new arena?
Yeah, I think so. I know they're spending, what, $55 or $60 million on a practice facility attached to the arena. Foster was, it was great in its own way.
Yeah.
When we had the big teams in there, Tennessee, Kentucky, we played Auburn and Montgomery, so we didn't have them in Foster, but Mississippi State, all, you know, the crowds would be great. And of course, smoke filled, the smoke was all over the place in those days, and the crowds would be loud and into it and right on top of you. So it was, you know, in this environment, it was a good venue. Now, it was not, it held 5,000, I think, and it was old, and but everybody's was like that, except for Kentucky. Everybody had an arena similar to that. And I was listening earlier, you said something about Maravich. The first time we played LSU down in Baton Rouge, he got 30. Mm-hmm. Now, for him, that's not very good.
That's off night, yeah.
And then when he came back to Tuscaloosa, he got 59.
Wow.
So that means his average was 44.5. And if you add 59 and 30 and divide it, it's 44.5. So he got his average against us, but he did it in a little bit different way.
You weren't guarding anymore, you might.
Everybody guarded him. If he came by, you guarded him. There was triangle twos and two on him, and there was everything imaginable to try to guard him. He was something. He was just a great player. He was so unique, and he was 6'5", weighed 170 pounds. He was just a skinny thing in college, but he could really go, and he was a great, great player.
Well, is there anything else for Mike before we let him get out?
No, I appreciate my. I thank you for being on, Mike, and hopefully.
Mike, I appreciate all the texts you send me when I'm trying to find information and I can't find it. You Google it and send it to me. I appreciate it.
I want to thank you for being on. You got another good team, Barry.
Yeah, we got a good team. We're playing.
They're 9-3.
Yes, sir.
Maybe I can get to see you play this year. I enjoyed watching that game.
Get back over here. You can stay with me. I'd be glad. Of course, I've moved to Tuscaloosa now.
Right, right.
I'd be glad for you to come over and stay with me and see a game. I hope to get to see you at least one more time before it's all over for me. But so right. Come over and give me a call.
We got a long time to go before that. Yeah, yeah.
Tell your son, Chris, I said hello, Mike.
We'll do it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Have a good day.
All right, there's Mike Norholtz. All right, do we want to take the break and do the vinegar tip or just do it right now? Let's just do it right now, Dad. So brought to you by Michael McGuire State Farm Insurance. Give Michael and his staff a call, 205-752-8500. This vinegar's done everything, cleaning food, rectal, cars, floors. What's he going to do for us today?
Well, I have a review about controlling blood sugar. Review found that drinking apple cider vinegar really reduced blood sugar levels in people with two types of diabetes, which is important. And the more apple cider vinegar they consumed, the better the results were. So that was big. And in other research, people with the type 2 diabetes who consumed apple cider vinegar and a serving of cheese. If they put cheese with apple cider vinegar before bedtime, had a greater reduction in fasting blood sugar levels than those that just ate water and cheese. So apple cider vinegar and cheese helps you reduce the blood sugar level more so than water and cheese. So get you some apple cider vinegar and get you some cheese and reduce the
I never thought of eating some cheese with my apple cider vinegar, and I may let you tell me how that one works out for you. All right, that's brought to you by Michael McGuire, State Farm Insurance, 205-752-8500. I'm assuming we're not going to do Blue Place Best, is only Army, Navy. We don't want to mess up your 99. But if we did do one, it's brought to you by Brian Harden Construction. If you need precision, Power Performance, Brian Hart Construction has been delivering top quality steel fabrication, welding, and 24/7 crane rentals for over 30 years. Family owned, woman led, safety driven. 205-759-1337. Or go to bhardenconst.com. David Harden put out a deal this week that I guess they did Coach Saban's statue, Wyatt. And so they were putting the statue up with their crane, and Brian Harden, under one of Coach Saban's feet, signed his name. So his name is under one of the feet of Coach Saban's foot out there in front of Bryant-Denny Stadium at Saban Field, or whatever you, however you say all that. All right, that's it for today's show. We appreciate we had a lot of guests on today, so they had a full show. Thank you, Wyatt, for getting us in and out. The Gary Harris Show is next, so keep it locked in. You listen to Tide 100.9, 1230 AM, WTBC. It's the home of Alabama sports. Have a great weekend, everybody.